Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. Easter has been a little unconventional. It's been a little non-traditional. I haven't really approached it in the way that I've approached Easter's in the past, and it's been a little different. For instance, I love Easter. I love singing about Easter as well as I can. I love singing those songs, Rise Again, and Christ Arose, you know, and When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and all those songs. But this week, I got to tell you, this week, the song that has been on my heart more than any other is an older song. It comes from 2007, and the song was written by Chris Daughtry and sung by Daughtry. And the song is, It's Not Over. It's Not Over. For some reason, I have not been, as a matter of fact, I was going over my sermon and working on it this past week, and I had that song, and I was listening to it as inspiration as I was going over the sermon. And Samuel said, Dad, you going to play that song today? And I was that close. I really, really was. But I'm not going to do that today. But that's the song that's been on my heart. There's been a non-conventional, untraditional sermon passage that has been on my heart. I know normally on Easter we talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every gospel covered the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that wasn't on my heart this week. And boy, I wrestled with that. If you follow me on Facebook, you know that yesterday morning about 8 o'clock, I had 98 words completed to my sermon this morning. 98 words. It has not come easy. But I've been praying about that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 has really been on my heart. And I want to share it with you here this morning. Let's begin with verse 13. In verse 13, 1 Corinthians 15 says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and so is your faith. Verse 15, moreover, we are found to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified wrongly about God, that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. And here's verse 19. If we put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. Now let me pause right there for a second, because you may be reading this and going, what in the world? What is Paul doing? Well, Paul, who was inspired to write this, is writing here, entertaining the notion, entertaining the thought, that what if it were not true? What if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead? What if the crucifixion, resurrection never happened? What if that never took place? And then he sums it up here, then we are pitied. We are pathetic. We are pitiful. But then in verse 20, I'll close with this and we'll pray and come back to it later. Verse 20 says, But the fact of the matter is, depending upon your translation of the Bible, but the truth is, Christ has been raised from the dead. Awesome. Well, if you have your Bible still opened, keep them open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but also turn to Matthew chapter 26. We're also going to look at Matthew chapter 26. You know, on the night before Jesus was crucified, he came together with some friends and his disciples. And they came together and they met together in a room. And in that room, Jesus told them a couple weeks ago, I shared with you, there were three significant things that Jesus said that night. The first one that he said to them, he kind of opened up with this. When he got everybody in the room, the first thing he said was, one of you is going to betray me. One of my closest friends, one of the disciples, you are going to betray me. And right after he told them that, it seemed like they took a break and decided that they were going to have some grub. They were going to eat for a while, and they had this Passover meal. They had this Passover dinner, and they began eating. Now, in verse 26 of Matthew 26, it says this. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, take and eat it. This is my body.
Verse 27 says, "Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, 'Drink from it, all of you.'" And then verse 28, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, what was Jesus doing at this time? Well, Jesus was talking about his death. Jesus was talking about how he was going to be crucified. When Jesus died, grace came alive. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, grace came alive. And this is what Jesus is doing. Jesus is explaining that this is the significance of my death. And as we've been talking for the past several weeks, we've been going through a study on understanding grace, trying to get our minds around, trying to grasp grace and what grace means. We've talked about this at the very beginning of our series. When we studied it, we said this: picture yourself in a room, in a courtroom, and you are sitting before the judge, and you know in your heart you did it. You know in your heart that you're guilty, and you're sitting before the judge, and the judge is getting ready to pronounce the sentence, knowing that you're guilty. Keep that in mind in light of this verse. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." When we sin, we fall short of the glory of God. That itty-bitty sin, that itty-bitty half-truth that we told, it really wasn't the truth. It was kind of a shade of the truth. It was really more of a lie. But we told that sin kept us from God. That sin separated us from God. Remember that one time you were thinking in your mind, nobody else knew about it, but you had a temptation, and in your mind, all of a sudden, you begin to go with that temptation. You begin to think about and foster the idea of what it would be like if you had what somebody else had. And you begin to think about that and making plans toward that. That kept you from God. You remember that time that you committed that sin that nobody else has known about? That kept you from God. It doesn't matter the sin. Sin keeps us from God. It separates us from God. And we stand guilty before God in that courtroom. And imagine what it must be like to stand before a judge, and that judge is getting ready to pronounce sentence, and before the judge pronounces the sentence, somebody says, "Wait, wait, wait." Because God loves us so much, because the judge loves us so much, he's decided to step in, and since he's a fair God, since he's a just God, since he needs to have the sentence satisfied, Jesus Christ is going to do it on our behalf. That is grace. That is what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, at this moment, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, you know, whenever you take the bread, whenever you take this juice, remember, that was the sacrifice I made for you. I poured out my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. We had no chance at reconciliation with God before Jesus stepped in. So the first thing that Jesus said there was, "One of you is going to betray me." They went into the Passover meal. They began to eat and began to have fellowship. Jesus told them, "Okay, this is the way I'm going to die," and explained that to them. And then Jesus said something else. Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me, but all of you are going to leave me. All of you are going to hit the road. You know, as soon as they come and arrest me, all of you are going to abandon me." At that time, Peter spoke up and he said, "No." He protested, "I'm not going to do that." And that's when Jesus said the third thing that he was going to say that night. Jesus said, "Before the rooster crows, before the morning hits, three times this night, you are going to deny me, Peter." And Peter said something interesting. I want to read these verses to you. Actually, he said it twice. He said in verse 33 and in verse 35 of Matthew 26. Let's look at the first time. Peter said this, thing about when you have the Lord's Supper and you still try to preach, David. After that, it gets stuck in your throat. So "even if everyone falls away because of you, I will never fall away." Now, does that sound familiar to you? Well, it should, because I just read a little while ago some of these very similar words. Let me look at it again in this verse. The key word here is the word "if." If I underline that, he says, "Even if everyone falls away because of you, I will never fall away." And then in verse 35, he repeats himself. He says, Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. So what is Peter saying here? Peter is saying the same thing that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If this had never happened, if this is the end, if this. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again and look at what Paul was saying. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, Jesus is a fraud. That's what C.S. Lewis wrote many years ago. You know, there's a lot of things said about Jesus today, and it's really hard. It's almost impossible. You can't say that Jesus never existed. I know people used to say that. Atheists, agnostics, people who didn't believe in God said would say all the time. There was never evidence that Jesus existed, but the evidence is overwhelming now. Jesus did exist. It's just like saying George Washington never existed. We have so much evidence knowing that George Washington existed. We have so much evidence that Jesus existed. Jesus definitely existed. But a lot of people say this about Jesus. They say Jesus was a good moral leader. They say Jesus was a good teacher. They say Jesus was another prophet of a long line of prophets. They make a lot of claims about Jesus, but Jesus never said any of those things about himself. Jesus said, I am the Son of God. Jesus said, I am the one who can forgive sins. I am the Redeemer. I am God. He preached and proclaimed the kingdom of God. Jesus never said he was a good teacher. So if Jesus said all those things and the resurrection proves that Jesus was who he says he was, then if it never happened, Jesus is a fraud. That is what Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he goes on, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Christianity is foolish. I mean, I've been doing this now for 21 years, and my life has been a complete waste, and I've just been foolish over all these years that I've got up every Easter and preached this if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He goes on and says this. He says, we are all fakes. We are all fakes. This is all just fake. We look foolish if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. I got to tell you, as pastor, I do a lot of funerals. I did a funeral Friday. I did a graveside yesterday. And I've spoken at many of these funerals. And at the funeral home, I tell people there is hope. But that's a lie if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. That is a lie because all funerals are final. There is no life after this if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. And Peter says something very similar here. If we look at what Peter said again in verses 33 and verse 35, Peter said this, I will stay with you in the end. I will die for you in the end. Now, why did Peter say that? Because Peter was saying, he was acknowledging, this is the end and I'm going to be with you till the end because it is over. But let's look back at verse 20. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is how Paul summed it up. He said this, but as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead. And you know, I don't know how the disciples missed it. I don't know what they were, maybe they had so much on their mind. Maybe there were so many people talking. When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, maybe they didn't hear anything else after that. I got to get them the benefit of the doubt. But I don't know why they didn't catch this. Because in chapter 26 of verse 32, in the middle of all this discussion, in the middle of the discourse between Peter and Jesus and them going back and forth, look at what Jesus says in verse 32. He says this, but after I have risen, And with those words, we see the hope that we have of Easter, that it is not over. It's not over. Jesus lives. He has risen. And because he lives, guess what? There are three things I want us to see real quickly before we end it all here today. Three things that I want us to see. Because he lives, our joy is not over. Because he lives, our joy is not over. First Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him. And you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy. You rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy. What we as Christians need this Easter and carrying on beyond is joy. joy. We need to remember that. Because he lives, joy is not over. I got to tell you, I look at the world and the world looks like a complete mess, doesn't it? It looks like it's upside down. Sri Lanka today, you probably woke up to the news. There are hundreds now dead as a result of the Easter attacks, coordinated hotels, churches in Sri Lanka, 500 growing number that have been injured. We look at the world today and there are so many things going on in our world. It just looks like it is completely upside down. But let me tell you this, our world, as bad as things look, is not out of control. You hear people say, the world is out of control. No, it's not. You know why? Because God is in control. And that's a quote, actually, I want to give you today. It's from a crazy mixed-up pastor in Kentucky, but this is it. Things, I'm going to give you three of these today, so you may want to write these down. Things are not out of control because God is in control. Things are not out of control because God is in control. I guarantee you, there is not one thing that is going to happen in our world, there's not one thing that's going to happen in our life where God is going to look at that and say, uh-oh, I never saw that coming. I never thought that would happen. There is not one thing that is going to happen. Everything that happens in our world right now is continuing to move on to God's plan. It is continuing to move on to God's will. God is in control. And I don't know about you, but that brings me joy. And I want to tell you what that looks like. I shared with you a little while ago about Beth Worthington and her parents. It's something that we haven't seen before. 74 years living together, now dying together. Beth Worthington, we've been praying for her parents and her for a while now. She's taken care of them, her and her brother. She's watched over them. And in this past week, something happened, something different. Her dad got very ill. He went to hospice. Hospice actually came to his home. Then he needed to go to Hartford House, so they transferred him to Hartford House. And while all this is going on, his wife, who's been relatively well physically, she has been well, she fell while walking, getting things ready. She fell walking across the room. She fell over her walker, broke her arm, and immediately her health began to deteriorate. They took her and moved her to Hartford House as well. So now Beth has both parents at the Hartford House. Friday morning, Beth's father passed away. Arthur Hale passed away. I went to see Beth and her brother David yesterday. I walked into the room and Beth said, Eddie, I gotta talk to you about something. She said, I really wasn't sure if I should do this. David and I talked about it. We really weren't sure what we should do. But you know, my father passed away yesterday morning. She said, last night, we debated on whether I should tell my mom if he passed away. You know, my mom could still understand at that point. Should we tell her that he passed away? Should we really do that? And she said, Eddie, I did it. And you know why I did it? I said, why did you do it, Beth? And she said, I did it for this reason. I was afraid that she was going to die and get to heaven, and she was going to be upset when she saw that her husband was there before her, knowing that I knew, and I didn't tell her. And I thought that was funny. I said, Beth, can I share that today? And she said, yes, absolutely. But she shared with him last night, and now her mom, just really before the end of the day, is probably going to pass away. But I wanted to tell you that when I walked into that room yesterday, Beth and her brother David were singing a song by the Afters. And this is the song they were singing. What will it be like when my pain is gone and all the worries of this world just fade away? This was playing on YouTube on their phone, and their mom was listening. What will it be like when you call my name and that moment when I see you face to face? I'm waiting my whole life to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done, my beloved child. You have run the race and now you're home. Well done. And what I'm seeing when you go into that room at the Hartford House, you see sadness. There hasn't been one time I've gone in there that Beth hasn't cried and cried. But what I'm seeing more than anything else in that room is joy. Inexpressible joy. Because you know how that happens? It happens when we know that God is in control. God is in control. Our lives are not out of control. God is in control. And because he lives, our joy is not over. Because he lives, our freedom from fear is not over. I've told you these things, that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. Here's my second quote for today. I want us to know this. My second quote for today is this. Because anything we're facing or will ever face, Jesus has already beat. Anything, I guarantee you, anything that you're facing right now, think about what it is that your greatest fear is, anything that we're going to face tomorrow, there is nothing we have to fear because Jesus has already beat it. Be courageous, for I have conquered the world. There's one final thing I want us to see here this morning. Because he lives, our lives are not over. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I will live, you will live too. I've shared this with the church before. I'm going to share it again. This is a truth that I've seen so clearly in my life, and it's this. I know right now that Jesus Christ exists. And you know how I know that? I know that Jesus Christ exists because the evidence is overwhelming. You cannot deny the evidence that exists of Jesus Christ. You look through the Bible and you see mounds of evidence. The Bible says, what was it that W.R. Criswell said? The W.R. Criswell said, this is a scarlet thread of redemption through the Bible. All through the pages of the Bible, you see Jesus Christ. I know that he exists because of the evidence. There's just not evidence in the Bible. There's evidence outside, in history outside of the Bible. There is evidence that Jesus Christ exists. I look at the creation of God's world and I see the existence of Jesus Christ. There is no denying that Jesus Christ exists, but I know Jesus Christ is real today because of me. I know Jesus Christ is alive today because I've seen him alive in my life. I know he exists through the evidence, but I know he is real because of me. Can you say that today? Do you know Jesus Christ is real and personal to you? I got a confession to make, guys. I really got to say this. It's been on my heart. It's been on my shoulders for a long time. And I got to confess to you, I really do. You know I've got problems. I share them with you. I wish I would keep my mouth shut sometimes. I should not share some of the things I struggle with, but I do. I just tell you everything that's on my heart. And I struggle. And you know, I am so competitive. I just can't help myself. It is bad. It is really bad. Well, Lisa and I, we did a good thing this past week. Lisa and I decided we were going to go get blood. And I just, it was a great day. Lisa and I went in there and we talked to the nurses. You know, one of the nurses was talking and she said, man, wouldn't it be great if there was a ministry that we could do a blood drive and we could do a ministry like this? And Lisa said, stop talking because you're giving him ideas. I can see the wheels turning in his mind right now. You're giving him ideas. But it was a great time that we had. Now, if you've ever gone and given blood, you know that you go into separate rooms and they take your vitals. You know, I mean, they prick your finger. You know, they take your blood pressure. They check your pulse and your heart rate and everything. They ask you a lot of questions. And I've got White Coast Syndrome. So, I mean, anytime I go into a place like that, my blood pressure just spikes. My pulse rate goes through the roof. My blood pressure was great, but my pulse rate was going wild, you know. And she said, wait, if we can't get this down, you can't get blood today. I said, okay. But it's 100 beats per minute, just in case you were curious on what you need to get to. 100 beats per minute. And she said, we got to get down to 100 beats per minute. The final time, they got it right at 100 beats per minute. She said, you're good. Let's get out there and get blood. And so we got out there. When I got out there, Lisa was already giving blood. She was already laying in the chair. She was already having blood drawn. You know, there was a bag there out beside her. Blood was in the bag. You know, she's doing great. Everything's good. So I lay down on that chair, and the nurse is getting me hooked up. And I hear Lisa's nurse say, well, you know what? Lisa's just about done. She's got a quarter of a bag full, a half bag full, and everything's great. And I said, okay, that's all fine. But then my nurse said this. As she hooked me up, and as the blood started flowing, my nurse said this. She said, wow, you move fast. If you work at it, you can catch up with her. Oh, man. That was the wrong thing to say to a competitive person. You never want to say something like that. I said, really? Is that a thing? And she said, well, yeah, I guess. So I grabbed that ball. I just squeezed. I just began to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, you know, as fast as I can. And, man, I'm catching up. And she says, wow, you get blood really fast. And wouldn't you know, I got done before Lisa, and this is really the bad thing. I stood over Lisa while she's laying in that chair, and I trash-talked her. The greatest comeback. The greatest comeback. In blood-giving history, I did it. You know, it should be an ESPN highlight. I'm bad. I'm bad. I'm just terrible. I'm pathetic. I'm pitiful. But you know what? It's not over. God is not finished with me yet. It is not over. And I want to tell us today, there's going to be times when we're praying and praying, and man, we're wondering, why isn't God answering? I don't think my prayers are going any higher than the ceiling. It's not over. When that job situation changes at work and your circumstances in life begin to turn differently than they are right now, it's not over. When that person you love walks away and that person you love breaks your heart, it's not over. I'm here to tell you today that when we feel like evil is winning and we feel like the whole world just seems nuts, God wants us to know it's not over. When we get that bad report from the doctor, it's not over. When our body's racked with pain, I promise you, it is not over. When we walk away from that graveside, leaving somebody that we love behind for the last time, it's not over. And when I take my last breath, and I close my eyes for the last time here on earth, it's not over. Amen. The message of Easter is this morning, because He lives, it's not over. Would you tell somebody today? Would you tell somebody this week? It's not over.
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors and our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.